All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Our final show before Thanksgiving. We'll be back next Monday. We'll be off all of next week. I'll miss you guys. Aaron's asked me what I'm going to do. I don't know. I'm all irritated right now because nothing works. Garage door doesn't work. Lawnmower doesn't work. Watch doesn't work. And something else, too, doesn't work. I'm all irritated right now. On my way here, got more and more irritated. And then and stupid people driving on the way here. Nothing's working. Nation's not working. Nothing's working. But I'm just kidding. All right, let me say it to everybody in the chat tonight. 23, Justin Blake is on. Mr. Cool Dude is on. J-G-E-C-K is on. Robin Aroni's on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. And John's 127 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Robin Aroni's on. Guitar Glenn is on. Waterline 46 is on. Spaz 64 is on. Release the Hog is on. That's a new one. Golf Master 1 is on. Agravain is on. Waterline 46 is on. Let me see here. Supergirl 21 is on. LA 106 Times is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. The one and only Salty Gonads is on. Gritterdun is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Run Pierre 1 is on. Let me see here. Sexy Pony is on. Bud 64 is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Genie Malfeasy is on. Let me see here. Black Bart 201 is on. Conservative Warrior is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Let me see here. Just in case I missed her. Peg McGroin is on. K4 VMS is on. Let me see here. Anybody else? Scrolling down. Moavi Jeep JT is on. Let me see here. Grab a couple more. Oh, there we go. Veronica 18201 is on. Lisa Kinzer is on. Let me see here. Alligator Alcatraz is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. See if I missed anybody or grab one or two more. Petey Frank is on. Trisha Snow is on. Let me see here. Producer Aaron is on. Volvo 960 is on. I'm going to grab two more. DC 941 is on. Last one. Let me find one more. Uncle Wally, my friend from right here, is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right to the first thing. Fox News tweet, breaking the House passes a resolution condemning socialism after a number of high-profile Democrats vote in support of the measure. So here we go. Now let's look at this. Let's break this down. So the Congress has voted to condemn socialism. Well, that's a good thing. Ostensibly useless, but you know what? It's a good thing. And they did this probably because Zohran Mamdani was visiting Donald Trump today. And they're like, some of you might want clips from that. I'm not showing them. I'm not doing it. There's basically, they both pretend to like each other. And we all know what's going to happen. Once Zohran leaves the White House, he's going to go back and call Trump a, 34-time convicted criminal, fascist, whatever else. So I'm not going to show the videos of them so-called getting along, but I will show you this. And most of you have already seen this already, but just in case, I wanted to break down the numbers really quickly. So this is a vote to simply say that we condemn socialism, that the United States will never be socialistic under our watch. So Republicans basically voted unanimously. 24 people no voted. I used to bash really hard the no votes, but then it turns out there's reasons for people that they don't vote other than avoiding the vote. But anyway, so there's 24 no votes on this, but we'll just say Republicans unanimously voted to condemn socialism. Now let's look at the Democrats, where the majority of Democrats voted to not condemn socialism. Is this not riveting to people? I mean, if you were a Democrat right now, does this not bother you at all that your party is in support of socialism, or I guess the word would be socialistic? I mean, that your party is now the party of socialism? 96 of the people who voted in support of socialism. And then they all will say that we're not socialistic. I just want to show this to people like Bill Maher, who sits there and vacillates back and forth, condemns socialism while still supporting people like Bernie Sanders and thinking that the Democrats are right, but I'm anti-socialist. Well, Democrats are socialist. The Democrats are right, but I stand against transgender surgeries and the wokeness. That is your party. So you might as well no longer be a Democrat. You either need to be a Republican or an independent. Or, you know what, I would love the idea of us being closer, not a parliamentary system in organization, but a parliamentary system in numbers of parties where you have to actually come up with a coalition. I would like that because the two-party system is, again, just a way to leverage power into, leverage you into one world commerce system, singular access point controlled by them. Well, your singular access point into our political system is Republicans and Democrats. That's the only way you can get in. I would love to have three, four, five, even 10 parties. And you have to have a coalition of people coming together. Or you'd have to have libertarians come together with conservatives to elect somebody. I would like that. And more people would vote too. I mean, I'm just, and that because we've been leveraged out. Republicans, although I'm a devout Republican, I could never see myself not being a Republican unless we come up with like a Bull Moose party or something like that. But anyway, this just shows you where Democrats are at. 96 Democrats in the current, basically half, no, and the rest of them no voted. And many of those, since this is cutting in half, so we just add another 15 to that. So that'd be 106, 111, 111 Democrats would vote to support socialism. Just want to point that out. And if you're a Democrat, you look at yourself in the mirror, just go ahead and say, I'm a socialist, and say it out loud. Let's go to the next one. All right, Joe Rogan podcast. Got three in a row on Jasmine Crockett because she's the genius. If you saw that portion of Scott Jennings on the PBD podcast, she's the genius that the Democrats have now sent out to speak for them. So let's look at the representation, the representative of the Democratic Party. Joe Rogan podcast news videos, video. Jasmine Crockett, so, okay, I'm just, this is a quote. So we gonna talk about white supremacy. We're not gonna talk about the fact that the vast majority of these shootings, if we look at the numbers, were white supremacy ideology. So let's break down the facts in this statement from Jasmine Crockett. In other words, there are no facts. Play it for me.
So we're not going to talk about white supremacy? Like, we're not going to talk about the fact that the vast majority of these shootings, whether they are seen as political or not, mm-hmm. if we look at the numbers, white supremacy ideology. But we don't want to do anything about that. There's no legislation that they want to bring. Every time you say white supremacy, they want to yell, oh, you're race baiting. No, I am going on facts. Like, these crimes, when we look at these mass shootings, most of them are linked to neo-Nazism or, you know, Proud Boys or whatever. It's always some white supremacy kind of thing that's going on. It's mm-hmm. not black folk that are going out there. It's not immigrants that are going out there. But what cities are we going into? Black cities, because we are supposedly the ones that commit all the crime. Which people are we going after? Immigrants, because allegedly it's immigrants, but we don't want to have a talk about what the numbers say, mm-hmm. what the facts say, which is that we have a white supremacy problem in this country. So until we decide to deal with the problem, we're going to continue.
And again, here we are, this generalistic problem that a Democrat espouses. Okay, let's look at this real quick. So she says we have a white supremacist problem. Where? I mean, just tell me where. Send me the videos because, and now Jasmine Crockett, we all know, is a moron. We all know she is, as is said in A Hangover Part One, she's a retard. So we all know that from Alan. And by the way, we now know who Release the Hog is. By the way, we know who you are. That's a friend of ours. So anyway, coming in with a new name tonight, Release Dog, and there's a story behind that. But anyway, maybe we'll have to show that video at some point here on the podcast.
No way.
It's already been shut down by the relative in the room. I'll leave it at that. But anyway, so if Jasmine Crockett's going to be your spokesperson, which obviously she is, let's break down these numbers. So she says we have a white supremacy problem. Send me a video of the white supremacy problem. Show me the statistical data of the white supremacy problem. Now, we could say easily that we have a black on white crime problem. That makes me a racist. I don't care if the people say that I'm a racist, because it's not a racist. I'm certainly not a racist. It's simply fact. Yep. I mean, we don't have any, Aaron, you correct me if I'm wrong, you can search all the videos. Correct me if I'm wrong. Show me the videos of a white person killing a black woman anywhere. Aaron's searching.
I ain't got none.
There's none. How about lighting somebody, a white man lighting a black woman on fire?
Got none.
Okay. And 13% of the population commits 60% of the violent crime. So we have a systemic black on white problem, criminal problem. Would we all agree? I don't care if you do or not. Those are the statistical facts. I get my facts from the Uniform Crime Report, which says that 13% of the population commits 56% of the violent crime. And mainly that 13% of the population they say is black, but it's really not even black. It's black men.
Yeah.
So black men, which is really 7% of the population,
yeah,
commits 60% of all violent crime. But where's Jasmine? She says there's a white supremacist problem. Obviously, we're not suppressing them enough to keep them from committing crime. In every video that comes, man, I'm losing viewers in droves right now, and people must not like this. But anyway, I mean, not one video ever comes out of a gang of whites attacking a black person. Ever. Aaron, search again.
Yeah, okay.
Anything? I mean, gang of whites attacking a black person. Show it to me.
Got nothing.
Okay, and it's the same thing because she would espouse a transgender genocide too. And not one time has a transgender person been victimized by any group, black, white, Asian, or anybody else. But yet, according to Jasmine Crockett, the Democratic Party, we have a transgender genocide. It's all lies. Everything that you hear is lies. Most of what the Republicans tell you are lies, and everything the Democrats tell you are lies. Every last thing. She says, get this, this is hysterical. So we're going to talk about white supremacy. We're going to talk about the fact that the vast majority of shootings are done by white supremacists. 10 out of the last 10 were transgender shooters. How are they? Are they white supremacists?
No.
10 out of the last 10 were either a man pretending to be a woman or a woman pretending to be a man. Hyped up on SRIs. So please. I mean, can you imagine? And then that's on Charlamagne's show. Sometimes he can do good, sometimes not. And he's a leftist. Credit Alan, hangover, retard. And then I'm just going to use that for now as if it's my own. But I'll try to remember to give Alan credit, a retard. But anyway, sometimes he comes through and actually calls people out. But he doesn't hear it. And he knows, because you know what? Charlamagne's never been a victim of a white person. Ever. Ever. He's never been a victim of a white person. Nor is Jasmine Crockett, even though she claims that she was in college. But anyway, so everything that she said right there is just a bold-faced lie. Let's go to the next one. And wokeness video. Jasmine Crockett says that whites are now randomly lynching blacks in the South.
Oh,
play it for me.
Gonna do. They not even gonna, honestly, they're about to outlaw the idea of white supremacy and white hate. Like, they are about to be like, oh, that's not a thing. Forget the fact that you're talking about getting rid of, like, the classification for nooses in a time in which we have seen these random black bodies be strung up down South. Also, seemingly at a time in which you're back in office, because what you do is you embolden the hate. You embolden everybody to take off their hoods. That is what he has done. He is the one that is producing this violence.
Embolden everybody to take off their hoods. When was the last time anybody even saw a Klan member? And now let's look at this. So Jasmine Crockett says whites are now randomly lynching blacks in the South. Where? I mean, can you imagine? Me and you, there's about 495 people watching right now. Me, so a total of 498 people are watching this podcast right now, three of us in this room. Can anybody send me a photo of the last lynching of anybody? And she says, that, remember, this is a recent video. That now, since Donald Trump's been back in power, there's been random lynchings of black people. Where? Can you imagine being this disingenuous and devoid of all integrity? And nobody even calls it, you don't think it would be a national news story? If you are Bubba freaking retard Wallace and you find a pulley in your garage for your garage door, that's national news when it's called a noose. That's national news. Or every time one of these nooses gets found or the N-word gets painted on a building, we all find out that it was a black person that did it. Every time trying to get national attention, Juicy Smouillet style. So, we've seen the national attention from a rope, from a garage door pulley. You don't think that there'll be a national story if two random black people were lynched in the South? And then, I mean, who believes this and who's interviewing this retard? And nobody even calls her out on it. Let's go to the next one. Another end wokeness video, Jasmine Crockett again. It is racist to be mad at Stacey Plaskett while texting Jeffrey Epstein. Play for me.
Because I'm sorry, but like, we don't have ethical like rules that say that you can't receive text messages or you can't respond to text messages, especially if somebody has a certain record and you can't do it in committee. We all be sitting on our phones and yes, people be texting. I mean, our staff texts us, like everybody texts us, like people. I remember when I had the bleach blonde situation, you know, who was texting me? My pastor. Okay. So like, let me be clear. There is no ethical violation. And so the idea or the audacity to decide that you want to strip a black woman of her committee assignment because she was texting with Epstein.
I would love to find out who her pastor is and what church she attends, because she certainly is not receiving the gospel at that church. She's receiving an accommodating, slaughtering the unborn grace, which is, you know what that is? That would be the demon's doctrine. That would be the devil's doctrine. I love how she does. We all be sitting. Aren't you just thrilled that that's your representative? Aren't you just glad? I mean, state of Texas. And of course, just bringing this up real quick, because it is a national news story. So far in the appellate court, Texas has lost its case to redistrict its state, but California is going in with Prop 58 and redistricting its state, which will cost us 5 seats in California. And the reason why Gavin Newsom said that he was redistricting was in response to Texas. And he said if Texas got called off or defeated in court, that he would call it up. But we know the man of integrity that Gavin Newsom is, that now, even though Texas is now lost in court, Gavin Newsom is still pushing forward with Prop 50 to remove to district out 5 Republican seats, because Jasmine Crockett in Texas would be districted out. Now we have the appellate court to go to, but so far that has been lost. But you just imagine, if you're in Texas, aren't you just proud that you elected somebody who talks like we all be sitting? This, and by the way, she's a graduate of a private high school, college, and law school. And she talks like we all be sitting. Her other verbiage, you know, that she has, we all be sitting on our cell phones. Aren't you just thrilled? And if you're a racist, if you dare criticize Stacey Plaskett receiving marching orders from Jeffrey Epstein in 2019, you're a racist. Remember, those are the new rules. All right, let's go to the next one. Colin Rugg video. I'm bouncing all over the place. I did it last night. I'm enjoying it. I'm doing it again. All right, so breaking, the FBI concluded that would-be assassin Thomas Crooks acted alone. Does the evidence line up with that? Play for me.
These remarks were especially notable because they came at the final phase of Crooks' YouTube commenting. At that point, a new character emerged into the conversation, a user named Willie Tepes, who started pressuring Crooks to commit violence. For example, quote, "If a gun and a badge is all that is needed, then authority obviously comes from the barrel of a gun. We have more guns than they do. There is no way we can avoid a war at this point, so you better just get used to the idea. We have nothing to lose and everything to win. And the alternative, a global police state, is unacceptable. Nothing in life is simple, but that is no argument against doing it." So who is this Willie Tepes? Unfortunately, we don't know. The FBI hasn't made any mention of him in public, although they certainly know he exists. Just days after the shooting, somebody screenshotted Tepes' YouTube account page, despite the fact he had very few followers. To the extent that he can be traced online now, you can find his username being used on a foreign Antifa website. Those sites link him to the Nordic Resistance Movement, which has been designated a terrorist group by the U.S. State Department. That's all we know. We do know, however, that Crooks' online footprint abruptly ends after his encounter with this mysterious figure, Willie Tepes. Regardless of whoever Willie Tepes is or was, and what his motives may have been, who he may have been working for, there is no doubt that Crooks was ripe for recruitment by someone.
So what we've been told so far from the FBI, no, I'm not letting go. Not those of us that are on this podcast, but many have already forgotten about the Charlie Kirk assassination. I have not. Tyler Robinson obviously didn't do it. It's very obvious that that's the case. It's very obvious that Thomas Crooks did not act alone in the shooting of Donald Trump and Corey Comparator and one or two others in the crowd. It's very obvious that he didn't. He had foreign encrypted accounts, was practicing his shooting at the DHS gun range, the agency that was the primary source of protection for Donald Trump on that day. Thomas Crooks was practicing his shooting at their range. We've never heard anything. All we got was the two dumb and dumber clown show bug-eyed morons standing out in front of the camera, Bongino and Patel telling us that Thomas Crooks acted alone and that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. And I'm sure now they're going to tell. And Cash Patel is now, it's been documented that Cash Patel yelled and screamed and said, you know what? We are not going to conduct any sort of foreign investigation into this into the shooting of Charlie Kirk. We're not going to look at any foreign intel agencies. We're not going to look at the Israelis. We're not going to look at any foreign countries or anything else. We're not going to do any of those things. Tulsi Gabbard tried, said, you know what? There's information. There was 11 or 12 Israeli government phones in the crowd that day. Suspicious flights flying out of Utah that day. But, you know, that's all going to be ignored because Tyler Robinson did it alone. Remember, Tyler Robinson's up on the roof and there's video of him leaving the roof, but not video of him taking the shot. There's no way for him to have timed out the assembly and taking apart of the gun. When you look at the timeline of the shooting, I don't have time to get into all of that. But anyway, there's no way for him to have done all those things. There's no way for him to have concealed it. Nobody writes a love letter, an orchestrated Shakespearean love letter to their furry gay lover like he did while he's on the run. But anyway, so back to Thomas Crooks. So we were told by Christopher Wray there was no online footprint. Tucker Carlson symbolically spends 5 minutes online and finds numerous posts with Thomas Crooks on them, and then one from this Willie Tappas who still has an online presence. We've never heard the name, but don't worry, because Cash Patel told us that Thomas Crooks acted alone. And but we have now weren't we told there was no digital footprint? Now you just saw him with the 9mm, man. And those aren't the only videos of him. We were told he had no online footprint. You know what that means is that because remember, these people are not Aaron. Okay. And obviously, here's the thing. I'm watching other people's podcasts and things like that, and their qualities for crap and their multi-million dollar podcasts. I'm like, geez, you guys need to talk to some people about how to improve your abilities. But anyway, it's the same in the government. They can't, whenever you see a testimonial in Congress and they have some screen behind them, and let me just show you how it works, and it never works. And then they don't know how to use it. And then it glitches and stops and it never seems to work because they have no good technology, because all the money they should be spending on that technology goes to their NGOs and back into their pockets. But again, I digress. But anyway, so these people that are operating from the FBI, they don't have the ability. They're like, they're as dumb as me when it comes to digital technology, when it comes to technology and online presence. They're dumb. Even their so-called experts are dumb. They don't know how to do anything. They're just like me. They know how to turn something on and turn something off, and that's really it. And then, so they can just say, he doesn't have a Facebook page, so he doesn't have an Instagram, so you know, he has no online footprint. The FBI already erased all of that. And they don't even know that their superiors were the ones who erased it. They're just like, oh, he's not on Instagram. He's not on Facebook. Oh, he has no online footprint. They have no idea how to trace it. Tucker Carlson did it. And Tucker Carlson's no digital genius either. You got a staff that probably does, but he found it. And there, so we're seeing everything that we're told about all these assassinations not only were lies, but they're continuing to be lies. Where's the investigation into the people that helped Tyler Robinson and the people that helped Thomas Crooks? Where are they? Why has none of this been released to us? Why has none of us ever heard of Willie Tappas, who now has a presence on an Antifa website overseas, but at Thomas Crooks acted alone, and a connection with another foreign terrorist organization? And this was the Willie Tappas who was instigating Thomas Crooks to take the shots. It's all coincidence, right?
Yeah.
But we never hear anything about it. All right, going on to California now. Vince Langman video. Welcome to Gavin Newsom's California. This is not a COVID era shot. This is 2025 Wingstop. Play for me.
Check this out. We're out here in Oakland at Wingstop. The entire place is locked down like Fort Knox. Really thick glass, bulletproof windows. Got to talk to an intercom when you order your food and get it through a little cubby hole right here. That's insane. Welcome to Oakland, baby.
Now, Wingstop is one of my favorite places, and I can tell you that we never have to stand behind bulletproof glass to make our orders here in Sarasota County. But in Gavin, and again, if you're a Democrat, don't you just look at the evidence here in Sarasota County that is boldly red? We don't have to stand behind bulletproof glass to work at Wingstop or to order from Wingstop. We don't stand behind bulletproof glass. We have to go to a little compartment? Because they don't want criminals to grab a hold of the cashiers and the cashier's money. So the little tiny compartment where you put your money in, close the door, they take your money, they put your order in with your change or your card back, and you open the door, and then you grab your food. We don't have that here. Why? It's run by Republicans. I mean, if you're a Democrat, why would you not wake up? And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know there's no probably no Democrats watching, but if you are a Democrat and you've happened to stumble upon this podcast, I'm just curious. There's your leadership, Oakland, California. 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years under Democratic Party control, including state control, including mayoralships, gubernatorial control, Senate control, House control, National Senate, National Congress control. And look at you. You don't think anything's wrong with that? You don't think there's anything wrong with even a Wingstop? That's not a large cash operation. If you rob Wingstop, you're going to walk out with $78. Everything else is in the safe. You keep a little bit of cash on hand for the very few people that even operate in cash anymore. I don't even pay in cash anymore. And I'm as old school as you get, but I'm just saying, I mean, you don't wake up if you're a Democrat and go, you know what? My policies and my politics and my politicians are not working out because I can't even go into Wingstop. I can't even go into a CVS if they're still in town because a lot of them close. I can't go in and get razors. I can't go in and get, you know, I don't know what else they sell in there. I'm never in there. Whatever it is. Everything's behind a glass case. Detergents behind a glass case, all because of Democratic Party policies. And you don't even wake up as a Democrat to say, you know what, maybe my political beliefs are flawed and or wrong. I don't get people. I really don't. All right, back to Newscom. Wall Street Apes video. Data shows Gavin Newsom has created an affordability crisis in California as he talks about the affordability crisis in the United States. He wants to solve, that's his number one concern, is the affordability crisis in the United States. So how in the world is he going to solve the affordability crisis in the United States when his own state is the affordability boondoggle of the United States? Play it for me.
Here. This is Call for One, of course, talking about the affordability crisis and all of the challenges that California specifically faces. This high median home price, $865,000, astounding. The income tax rate, ranking 48 in state income tax competitiveness. The cost of living, 45% higher than the national average. Not polling well in multiple polls when it comes to affordability. Your thoughts?
For one reason that people flee California and for red states is affordability. So look, the Democrats are talking out both sides of their mouth. Affordability is the number one issue in the United States. Yet the darling for the Democrat presidential run is Gavin Newsom, whose track record is unaffordability in California. The egg prices, the gas tax, income tax, housing prices, electricity prices, you don't get more expensive than California. And he's not trying to address these issues. He's trying to glaze over them and pretend that everyone forgot why they left California and run for president. So we see what he's done. I feel it. I experience it. I live in California. It is very, very difficult to live in California as an affordability, from an affordability standpoint.
Yeah, when Gavin Newsom took over the state of California, they were billions, I think it's $20 billion surplus, and now he sunk them into hundreds of billions of dollars worth of debt. Again, if you're a Democrat, how do you look at yourself in the mirror and say, we're effective? How could you ever vote for that? I mean, I honestly don't get it, because here's the thing. I agree that national Republicans are not much better, and all they are cowards to the Democratic Party agenda and narrative. But if you look at red states like Florida, Florida is not hundreds of billions of dollars in debt. As a matter of fact, Florida is pretty much, and all Ron DeSantis has done, has lowered our debt. I actually had the numbers a couple weeks ago, but I can't remember what it was. And I mean substantively lowered the debt. Nothing looks like California. Medium home price in California, that's just the average. Average home price, $865,000. That's the average home price. Average. So it's really, it ranges from $700,000 to $1 million. That's it. That's the lowest price you're going to get, $700,000. Cost of living, 45% higher than national average. 50% higher than the national average. 50% higher than the national average. Individual income tax rate, 13.3%, highest in the United States. Highest cost of living. Highest medium home prices. Highest income tax rate. Rates 48 in state competitiveness index. So they are basically last in their tax agenda and their tax policies in the United States. And this guy's running for president. See, only in the Democratic Party could you actually promote this level of incompetence. And J.B. Pritzker is going to try to run for president too. He's equally as incompetent. And any other Cuomo was equally incompetent in New York. And I could go on and on and on and on. They're all exactly the same. Although we do have to acknowledge the Olympic reaches of incompetence that have been reached by Gavin Newsom. All right, moving on. Dom Lucrey tweet. I told you I'm jumping all over the place. I find this to be funner. breaking news. Grammy winning. Is that Fugees, Aaron? What do you think?
Fugees, maybe?
Oh, you don't know?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe. That's probably a little bit before your time.
Yeah.
But anyway, Fugees? I don't know. Fugees? I don't know. Rapper, I have no idea. Praz Michael was sentenced to 14 years in prison for allegedly funneling foreign money into former President Barack Hussein Obama's 2012 campaign. Prosecutors say he took over $120 million from a Malaysian billionaire. So here we are once again, the illustration of Democratic Party criminality. It's weird. None of this happens with Republicans. I mean, I know that's slightly hyperbolic because occasionally there will be some sort of Republican criminality. You know, I mean, when you have like Dinesh D'Souza gets put in federal prison because he overgave, it was all open and out front and in his tax returns that he overgave to a political PAC where it had certain campaign finance regulations that he didn't know about. So instead of giving to the maximum of 5,000, he gave like 6,000 and he went to federal prison under Hussein Obama, by the way. Hussein Obama went after him, weaponized the DOJ, went after Dinesh D'Souza. While Barack Obama was receiving criminal campaign finances, illegal campaign finances, he was putting Dinesh D'Souza in federal prison for donating too much. And Hussein was receiving illegal. Dinesh D'Souza was unwittingly donating too much because he just happened to not know. All you need to do is just take the money back. Then give them the opportunity. They made sure they prosecute him. Now, everybody else who does that, if you're a Democrat or a connected Republican, nothing happens to you. All right, let's go to the next one. Red Wave press video. Jesse Waters, you're right about J.P. Morgan. Here is an Epstein timeline. This is out and it's used. J.P. Morgan filed 5,000 suspicious activity reports on Epstein, $1 billion in suspicious financial wires from Jeffrey Epstein, and then covered it up. Play it for me.
Now they're putting out flight manifests in 30 days. They're putting out all of the FBI and DOJ investigative documentation. Now, Donald Trump cut him loose in 2004. All of this documentation that's going to come out is going to be from 2008, when the first charges were filed, to 2019, when the second charges were filed. Everything in between that decade, all he's doing, Jessica, is hanging out with Democrats. That's all he's doing. He's not donating to Republicans. He's not hanging out with Republicans. So it doesn't even matter if you guys did or did not get massages, did or did not hang out with sex traffic minors. It doesn't even matter. The mere allegation that's going to come out in these documents is going to ruin people's lives. And I'm sorry, you pushed this. Trump was trying to be a gentleman, and he was going to say a lot of people's lives are going to be ruined. A lot of people will have their reputations destroyed from innuendo. And I'm sorry, but that's the way it's going to happen. Now, you're right about J.P. Morgan. This is out, and it's huge. So J.P. Morgan filed 5,000 suspicious activity reports on Epstein. $1 billion in suspicious financial wires from Jeffrey Epstein. That either one or two things is true. He is either at the center of an international sexual blackmail ring, or he's a money launderer. And J.P. Morgan covered it up. And the Treasury Department's covered it up because they get those reports. That's what this has always been about, a sexual blackmail ring. And that's what I'd like to find out more about.
All right, so three things here. First of all, Trump completely disconnected with all connections with Jeffrey Epstein in 2004. 21 years ago, Trump, from that moment on, had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. So from 2004 to 2000 until 2025, well, now when he died, 2019, that was all Democrats. So for those 15 years, all these things that they want released, I mean, they go back to 2004, they're going to find Mar-a-Lago pictures of Trump hanging around with Epstein hanging around with Mar-a-Lago until Trump kicks them out of Mar-a-Lago for trying to pick up 15-year-old girls and having Ghislaine Maxwell recruit young teenage girls out of Mar-a-Lago. What happened? Melania and Don got very upset and kicked them both out. That's the end of his connection with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, what about the Democrats like Katie Couric? What about Larry Summers, Kevin Spacey, Billy Clinton, who 27 times was on the Lolita Express? in those years. What about there? What about Stacey Plaskett being coached on the phone by him? What about Chuckie Schumer receiving campaign finances from Jeffrey Epstein? Larry Summers, the president of Harvard, who allowed Jeffrey Epstein to maintenance an office at Harvard up to 2019, basically the moment that he died. So after he was already convicted, 2007, 2008, for trafficking in underage women, convicted of it, runs to Israel, gets a plea bargain to bring him back, and then lets him into a country club prison, but regardless, was convicted of trafficking in an underage girl for prostitution. Larry Summers not only lets him have an office in at Harvard, Larry Summers was receiving dating advice from him about how he can procure and manipulate women while he's still married to his current wife. And now has resigned. Then we got Jasmine Crockett buffooning herself on the congressional floor, absolutely making a clown show of herself, claiming that Lee Zeldin, claiming that the RNC, claiming that Mittens, Willard, Romney all received money from Jeffrey Epstein, but they weren't Jeffrey Epstein, the sex trafficker. One of them was Jeffrey Epstein, the doctor, and the other ones weren't Jeffrey Epstein, the sex trafficker either, because there's 5,000 people named Jeffrey Epstein in the United States of America. So anyway, so there you go. So we find this out. Now, J.P. Morgan, this is why Trump was not releasing the Epstein files. And Jesse Waters was right, because Trump is still old school. Until you just keep on poking and prodding and picking at the bear. And I don't agree with how Trump has handled this. I know Trump's completely innocent when it comes to any criminality. But he wanted to keep J.P. Morgan safe because it has to do with the Trump economy. He wanted to keep other bankers safe. He wanted to keep the intel agencies safe. And what I mean by safe, again, is he's being nice because none of it's a national security issue. It is a personal malfeasance criminality issue. You know, whether it's Anthony Fauci's got nothing to do with Epstein, but Anthony Fauci redacting his emails has nothing to do with national security. It has to do with his own keeping myself out of prison security. And then he labels it national security. Everything now is classified. None of it should be classified. Nothing to do with Tyler Robinson should be classified. Nothing to do with Thomas Crook should be classified. Nothing to do with Fauci, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Ralph Baric, and UNC. None of it should be classified. None of this should be classified. And apparently it's not going to be. But Trump is still old school. He's like trying to kind of, he still believes there's good FBI agents. There's not. There isn't. I'm sorry. There's no good CIA agents. There's none. It's absolutely infested with globalist, leftist, bourgeois elite Nazis. That's who's in there. Who are pushing crony capitalism and are just simply vacillating from governments to NGOs, governments to NGOs, and making millions themselves and funneling it back to their benefactors. So we find out, as I said before we watched the video, J.P. Morgan had 5,000 suspicious activities report. Those are also called SARs. This is all public record. This is all reported basically to themselves, but it's also reported to the federal government. $1 billion and suspicious financial wires from Jeffrey Epstein. Shows you how rich the guy was. So as Jesse Waters said, when you have 5,000 suspicious activities reports, totaling a total of $1 billion, first of all, you're loaded. Second of all, what are you then? All these things are suspicious. You're either a money launderer or a sex trafficker, and I think we can confidently say that he's both. Absolutely, he's both. He was a part of an international money laundering honeypot operation for MI6, Mossad, and the CIA, and probably the State Department. And Trump trying to help people out, but the Democrats didn't want it. That's absolutely fine because everything's blowing up in their face. Everything. I mean, look at what came out right away, whether it's Plaskett, whether it's Summers, Reid Hoffman. Watch, it's all coming. Reid Hoffman's the one who funded the E. Jean Carroll case. Oh, great move. You want it all? I mean, I can't believe Reid Hoffman wasn't behind the scenes gone because he's the one who gives all this money to Democrats. And I guarantee you all Reid Hoffman's money was made from what sources? I can guarantee you NGOs. Yeah. I guarantee you. I'll bet you every dime George Soros ever made came from you and me. I'll bet you $1,000 that's the case. I'll bet you it's the same thing with the Pritzkers. I'll bet you it's all lies with the exception of certain people like Walmart and Elon Musk. But everybody else, probably because they were benefactors from NGOs. So basically, all these years now, It's all Democrats with Epstein and absolutely no Republicans. Let's go to the next one. Carly Bonet video. Oh, Barry, look at her smug mug. So here we have, now I have my list. I'll read it to you one more time. Now we have Obama's fixer. I don't know how many of you have heard of this woman, but if you ever look at any sort of instigation, any persecution via prosecution case, you'll find a woman by the name of Catherine Rumbler behind the scenes of all those. Like you'll find the Mark Eliases and the Norm Eisens and the Reid Hoffmans. You'll find all of these so-called quote unquote attorneys behind all of these malicious persecution, prosecution cases. And Catherine Rumbler, she was known as Obama's fixer. Guess who she was receiving money from? Play it for me.
Earth include this one. I mentioned briefly earlier in the hour, Kathy Rumbler is a lawyer who worked in the Obama administration. And she had a business relationship here. You see, he says you need to talk to boss, and she is consulting or emailing with Epstein about potentially taking a promotion or becoming attorney general under Obama. I need to be prepared to say yes before I talk to him. I'll remind folks, because she may not be a household name, we have a photo of her. This is something we've learned about from the emails, where it seems that high-profile people in both parties seem to have all these ties to him. We know more about this because of your committee's release. What should be done about that? And does it concern you that Epstein apparently had entree with this high-ranking official?
We need a full release of the files, and we will follow those files wherever they take us, because every...
So we have Ari Melber there talking to Ayanna Pressley and saying, first of all, that high-profile officials from both parties aren't wrong. What Republicans? Which ones? I mean, you have Donald Trump with a business relationship with him back in 2004 is when it ended. So here we have, this is Catherine Rumbler dealing with him. Look at the date here. 2014, 11 years ago, Donald Trump ended his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein by kicking him out of his life 10 years prior to that. And now you have Obama's fix-it lawyer talks, emailing him once again. Here we go, telecommunications with Jeffrey Epstein. And amazing, isn't it? I mean, I love that so this adds some others. Now we have Larry Summers, scalp. Reid Hoffman, scalp. Crockett, scalp. Oh, I forgot about Hakeem Jeffries solicited money from Jeffrey Epstein. Stacey Plaskett, scalp. Chuck Schumer received money from Jeffrey Epstein. And now Catherine Rumbler solicited advice also. I said money, but it was that was incorrect. Solicited advice from Jeffrey Epstein as if he had power. And then you have the media falsely accused. And this is what I hate when people do this, because you have, they're like art church pastors who are simply lukewarm, who never actually want to take a stand on anything. So you always have these weak-kneed conservatives go on these shows. You know, both parties are the problem. You know, both parties do it. No. I agree that, you know what, certainly the Republicans aren't perfect, but both parties don't do it. Okay, both parties don't lop off penises, testicles, and breasts. Both parties don't slaughter the unborn. Both parties do not open the southern border and allow 15 to 30 million people in a four-year period of time. Both parties don't fund international abortions. Both parties don't collapse Afghanistan in a day and kill 13 Americans at Abbey Gate. Both parties don't do those things. Both parties don't cause 9% inflation. Only one party does those things. Now, both parties are, I mean, Republicans are spineless, but they don't reach the Olympic levels of evil of Democrats. So here we have now Catherine Rumbler on the Epstein list. Come on, let's keep on revealing the Epstein files, Dems. It's working out really well for you. Love every last minute of it. Speaking of that, let's look at Larry Summers and his resignation speech. Patriots are in control video in 2016. Larry Summers called Trump the gravest threat to America in his adult life. Fast forward to today, and he's apologizing to his class for his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Play it for me.
I think the prospect of Donald Trump being president would be the gravest threat to our prosperity, our security, and our freedom in my adult lifetime. Wow. So that's the thing I would worry most about.
Some of you will have seen my statement of regret, expressing my shame with respect to what I been in communication with Mr. Epstein, and that I've said that I'm going to step back from public activities for a time, but I think it's very important to fulfill my teaching obligations. And so, with your permission, we're going to go forward and talk about the material in the class.
So there you go. There's another one down. Has to resign because he was actually seeking manipulative advice on how to conjure a woman to going out with him. Basically asking Jeffrey Epstein for his techniques. So now he's having to resign from his position of president of Harvard. Great job. So far, things are working out really well for you Democrats, isn't it? All right, let's go to the next one. Johnny Midnight video. So let me get this straight. Katie Couric is a journalist, and after 18 months, she was totally ignorant about Epstein. Play for me.
Did dine with Epstein. Oh, Katie Couric, the so-called journalist who claims ignorance is bliss.
Katie, Emily S. wants to know the strangest part of going to a dinner party at Jeffrey Epstein's house.
I didn't know anything about Jeffrey Epstein at the time, and it was super weird. What can I say? And the person I was with said, did you notice how young the girls were who were taking the coats? Oh. And I said, I really didn't. But of course, later, we found out everything about him. A lot of the stuff about him hadn't come out yet.
A lot hadn't come out? Except the fact Epstein was a convicted sex offender by 2008. Served time. And was released 18 months before this dinner. Who did
you see the New York Post headline, Katie? Didn't you work in New York? Weren't you part of the, I believe it was NBC's morning show for forever?
Yep.
In New York? And you didn't know? Oh, please now, please. And every single one of these people have Jewish connections, just so you know. And you're like, here's the thing. And I just want to always make this clear to everybody. Here's what you have to, here's where I stand with Israel. Is I believe that Israel wants us to be their dog and they want to be the tail and they want to be the tail that wags the dog. Okay, but so does England wants to do that to us also. And France wants to do that to us also. Then we're allowed to criticize everybody else, Germany, France, Canada, and everybody. You need to be able to criticize Israel. And here's the thing, France doesn't have an AIPAC.
Yep.
They don't have it. In order for France to have an AIPAC, they would have to go through FARA constraints. But AIPAC doesn't. That's weird, isn't it? And every scene, whether it's Ari Melber, Melber in the last one from MSNBC, who said, you know what, both parties are guilty of their relationships with Jeffrey Epstein. And wrong, Ari, Jewish connection, covering for Epstein. Many in the White House, Jewish connections, don't want Epstein exposed because Epstein is a Mossad agent. Oh, that makes you anti-Semitic. No, it doesn't. I just said, if I say that there's a black on white crime problem in America, which there is, does that make me a racist? No, it makes me a fact teller. Simple as that.
Yep.
That's how I look at all of it. I hate Islam. I hate the Islamic faith. Not people who are Islamic. I hate the Islamic faith. Does that make me Islamophobic? Nope, I hate their faith. There you go. Simple as that. Okay, if I have to choose between Islam and Hamas, if I was to choose between Israel and Hamas, I choose Israel because at least they are a functioning democracy. But that's the only reason why I choose them. Not because I'm afraid of being cursed for not supporting Israel. That is not biblically accurate. It's not even talking about Israel. It's talking about Abram before he became Abraham. It's not even talking about Israel. And by the way, the new Israel is everybody who's saved under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the new Israel. We've all been grafted into a single vine, the church of Jesus Christ. If you want to bless anything, if you want to believe that if you're blessed, Israel will be blessed. If you curse, Israel will be cursed. Then you know what you need to do, which is true. If you point it at the right church, and the right church are those born again Christians. That's the church, the international church. I don't care what label you have, whether you're non-denominational, Pentecostal, Baptist, Catholic, Protestant, Lutheran, as long as you are saved, you are part of the new Israel. You are grafted into the vine. Romans chapter 11. Please read it. Simple as that. That's how it is. That's how it works. And we need to be honest about everything. No, there cannot be any criticism off the table. Everything needs to be on the table or we're going nowhere. Man, it's 10 o'clock already? Holy mackerel. All right, let's go on. Lives a TikTok video. Just in, New York police are now searching for... Oh, this is perfect for my... I actually titled this Black on White Crime. New York police are now searching for a man after he randomly slashed two people on a Queens subway platform. Play it for me.
Developing this morning, search underway right now for a man police say randomly slashed two people on a Queens subway platform.
And now we're hearing from one of those victims as they recover from the attack. Christy Kalishan joins us live from Kew Gardens with more. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Aziza and Mary. Police say these two attacks were unprovoked. One man was slashed in the face, the other slashed in the forehead. Take a look at cell phone video that shows a fight breakout around the time of this attack on the southbound E platform at the Union Turnpike Kew Gardens station at around 3:15 Wednesday afternoon. Police say it was a 50-year-old man who was slashed in the face and that this 42-year-old man was slashed in the forehead and now has 8 stitches. Our Naveen Dhaliwal spoke with him over the phone last night.
Was walking very fast in the middle of the platform. He go hit another guy, and after that he hit another guy again.
Get a good look at that attacker there again. Police say he is 5'4", wearing a gray hood and black jacket, hat, and pants. And afterwards, he's seen slapping another man before police say he fled on foot to parts unknown. And this all as NYPD data shows that transit crime is down 5% from last year. It's unknown if the two victims there knew each other, but they're both said to be in stable condition and are expected to be okay. Live in Kew Gardens, Queens, Christy Kalishian, CBS News, New York.
There you have the propagandists. Aaron pointed this out. The propagandists, CBS News, they finished with transit crime being down.
Yeah, okay.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Here, just a couple observations. First of all, the guy's wearing a mask. I mean, one of the poor victims wearing a mask. Okay, it is now November, what is it, 21st, Aaron?
Yeah.
November 21st, 2025. Okay, this occurred yesterday. So this is November 20th of 2025 and you're wearing a mask. I mean, what are you wearing a mask for? I mean, first of all, you never should have worn a mask, but why are you wearing a mask now? I'm just curious. What exactly are you doing? But anyway, I digress. So here we have a black man attacking two white men with a butcher knife and slashing their heads wide open. Now, again, show me the videos of whites doing this to blacks and what would happen if that were to occur. Secondly, going back to CBS News, notice how they go and how they try to put out the alert for the perpetrator. So they're given information about the perpetrator. They say, a man. They're all afraid to say black man because now it's just like you're not allowed to talk about Israel. You're not allowed to call somebody by their color. If it was white, they'd say white male. But they won't do it now because they used to 10 years ago, everyone would say black male. Everyone would say white male. Everyone would say Asian male. Everyone would say Latino male, whatever it may be. People would say that. Now, because you are Pravda, Goebbels, I mean, again, I don't know how you even look at yourself in the mirror every day when you know that you are absolutely controlled government media. You know you're a whore. I don't know how in the world anybody functions as a whore. I will never understand it. You are given talking points and you obey them. I cannot imagine it. I mean, I can flat out tell you, I would never be a pastor of a church that a board told me what to preach.
Oh,
I mean, can you imagine? Aaron laughs. That would never happen.
No.
Now, I would never be somebody's whore. And that most everybody on the left basically is somebody else's whore because they will not violate the talking points of their agenda. Even though their talking points are wrong, why would you buy into an agenda where you know the talking points are lies, but yet they do? Well, they're like, well, because of the greater good. How could it be for the greater good when you have to lie to get it? Does anybody ever get sort of philosophical, sort of like you sit back as Socrates and maybe think things out? Well, I lie to bring forth my agenda. How good could your agenda be if you are lying to bring it forth? I don't get it. I honestly do not get it. I don't get it. But so CBS News won't give an accurate description of the perpetrator to the public because they're afraid of using the word black. He's a black man who slashed two white people. If it was a white guy who slashed two white people or two black people or two Asian people, we would all say it's a white male. It's ridiculous. All right, let's move on to Chicago. Vince Langman video. You have blood on your hands, scumbag, from the burning incident. Here's Brandon Johnson. Play it for me.
This is an absolute failure of our criminal justice as well as our mental health institutions. This individual was charged with dozens of felonies over the past 3 decades. He was clearly seriously mentally disturbed and was a danger to himself and to others. The system that we had failed to intervene, and now we have a woman who is fighting for her life, and I am praying for her and her full recovery. We're also praying for her family at this time. This is a horrific tragedy that should have never happened.
Should have never happened, but he's known about these systemic failures for decades and decades and decades, and so have all the Democrats that run that ridiculous city. That will have somewhere between 50 and 70 shootings this weekend. And more over the week where people are off for Thanksgiving. And I just want to make this national announcement that we all thought that Lawrence Reed, who burned this woman alive, white woman, another black man victimizing a white woman like Irina Saruska,
yep.
Just like that, stabbing her to death. And she got in all kinds of trouble for putting that out when I put that poor woman being victimized out on online. But anyway, no, it wasn't that. It was Charlie Kirk shooting. But anyway, so here's the big announcement. We all thought that he had been arrested 50 times. No, wrong. 72 prior arrests.
Wow.
And Brandon Johnson and his Democratic Party judicial system, his Democratic Party social, not Social Security. I don't know. But anyway, a social system inside of Chicago, let the man off. 72 arrests. 72 social worker system lets him off. It's going to let him off. 72 prior arrests. And he's out there with a can of gasoline lighting a white woman on fire. Unbelievable. And he says that it was a failure, but it was this is not systemic. There'll be 70 shootings this weekend. It's systemic, Brandon. Wake up. And he doesn't want to wake up because if he wakes up, then he'll be voted out of office. Colin Rugg video, the Chicago man accused of lighting a young woman on fire on a Blue Line train had previously been arrested 72 times. 50-year-old Lawrence Reed is accused of intentionally lighting the woman on fire with gasoline and lighter. Colin Rugg video, play for me.
Prosecutors say he lit a woman on fire aboard a train. Meanwhile, there are growing questions about why he was back out on the streets despite a rap sheet reportedly going back to the early 90s. Mike Tobin is live in the Windy City with more. Hi, Mike.
And Dana, Lawrence Reed will be once again before the judge today, this time to determine if he will be held behind bars before he goes to trial. And that really is the backbone of this case. On Monday, he was out walking the streets despite a pending case for allegedly knocking a woman out, able to ride the L train where a woman was set on fire. Now, we have a statement from her family through Cook County Health. It's a pretty simple statement. They say, we'd like to thank everyone for their prayers and well wishes as our daughter receives care for her injuries sustained earlier this week. We're also grateful for the excellent care and support of the burn team at Stroger Hospital. It goes on to the family to say the family will not be providing any more updates. Now, the criminal complaint against Reed says he went to a gas station, filled a plastic bottle with gasoline. The images get brutal here, so brace yourself. 20 minutes later, he was on the Blue Line train, dumped the gasoline on the woman's head. She ran, but he chased her down with the flaming remnants of the bottle and set her on fire. Mayor Brandon Johnson's message is that violence on public transit is not widespread.
Look, my responsibility is to build the safest, most affordable big city in America. The investments that we are making are certainly moving us in that direction. This is an isolated incident. I mean, I don't see this as some sort of trend.
We've tracked down more than four dozen of arrests of Lawrence Reed since 1993. Nine of them were for felonies, yet he has served just over 2 years behind bars. Most recently, he was charged with aggravated assault for knocking out a social worker. The state's attorney requested pretrial detention, but Judge Teresa Molina Gonzalez denied him the request and put him on electronic monitoring. The website CWB Chicago reports that at that detention hearing, Judge Molina Gonzalez said, I can't put everyone behind bars or keep everyone in jail just because the state's attorney has asked me to. So we'll find out later today if a federal judge will indeed keep him behind bars. Dana, back
Mike
to you.
Well,
why would you keep him behind bars, according to Judge Teresa Gonzalez? Strike one. Is also a giant woman. You can't keep everybody behind bars is what she says. So according to, there it is. Judge Teresa Molina Gonzalez. Of course, she has to have three names.
Aye, aye.
Teresa. What is it again? Let's see. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Teresa Molina Gonzalez. So, yay. She can't keep everybody behind bars. Of course, she can't keep everybody. How about somebody who's been arrested 72 times and that was just released for punching out another woman? I can just guess what color that woman was. And it was just the infamous, I wonder if he was the infamous Chicago puncher They have a guy that's very infamous, keeps getting released also for knocking the women the crap out on the streets on video.
Yeah.
Knocks them the crap out. I wonder if this guy was the puncher. Probably not. But anyway, they have that guy too. They just keep releasing over and over again as he goes out. A black man punching women as he just walks down the street, but it knocks them the crap out. Wonderful people. And then you get fat girl right here, lets him out. So she can't keep everybody in. Okay, you know, I agree. You really can't keep everybody in. But somebody has been arrested 72 times, mainly for violent crimes. Teresa Molina Gonzalez. You might want to keep him in.
Yeah.
Just some advice for you. All right, let's go to the next one. Anti-commie video. Let's look at the genesis of the Joe Biden, Jill Biden relationship. Remember, we were told that they were introduced on a blind date. Not that Jill worked on his campaign and that Joe was having sex with her while she was a campaign worker, breaking up a marriage, and Joe wrecked her ex-husband's 67 Corvette while she was still married to her ex-husband. Imagine that. And this is what happened exactly, too. And this is all documented from the ex-husband. And this will also, the story I'm about to show you from PBD Podcast also blows apart their story. Remember, they never met each other. Aaron never met each other.
Right,
never met each other. Somebody introduced them on a blind date. And they went on a blind date and madly fell in love. No, what actually happened was, I'm going to skip this part because I want to leave it for PBD. What happened was is that she ended up working on one of his senatorial campaigns. And as a campaign staffer, they were committing adultery with one another. He was married to his wife. She was married to her husband. And, you know, having a sexual adulterous relationship. And during that sexual adulterous relationship, Joe was driving around in Jill Biden's husband's 67 Corvette. Now, Joe Biden also gave himself that pseudonym and also owns now a 67 Corvette, gave himself that pseudonym on governmental email, 67 Corvette. But he went and wrecked Jill Biden's husband's. So he's banging his wife, driving his Corvette, and wrecking it. What a great person you Democrats follow. I mean, what a great person you Democrats follow. What a great guy. But there's more to the story than that. Anti-commie video. Play for me.
So that's Jill Biden.
Oh.
She used to babysit Bowen Hunter.
At 15? Whoa.
Did you guys know this or not?
I did not know that.
Oh. That's a little weird to me.
Oh.
And then later on, because, you know, people came back and they said, well, rumors are not true that they dated while she was a babysitter. They dated when she was in her mid-20s. Bro, that's not the point.
You were attracted to her. Guess what? At 15 years old,
that's a little weird.
So wait, are you mean to tell me the same president whose daughter wrote in her diary, PBD, that her father would take showers with her at inappropriate ages, the same guy that on camera when he was sworn in as vice president has been sniffing kids, grabbing them, touching them on camera, and some of those girls came out and said that they felt...
So Joe, who liked to shower with his daughter when she was 14, meets Jill while she's babysitting his kids while she's 15. But nothing ever happened.
No.
I mean, this is Joe who we have on video jamming his face into girl's hair, trying to get as close to 11-year-old's boobs as he possibly can while taking videos, while taking pictures with them. Showering with his daughter as she quote unquote says at an inappropriate age. And here you have Joe actually meeting Jill as the babysitter. And then lo and behold, they just happened to have a relationship, but she's in her early 20s when he met her 6 years prior to that. Oh, I'm sure there was no contact between then.
No, of course not. No.
Nice little picture with her on his lap though. Like that's what everybody does, isn't it? I don't know if Aaron has ever had to hire a babysitter yet, but yeah. I've hired a lot of babysitters, and I certainly have never had one sitting on my lap. Okay. I mean, 15-year-old girl sitting on your lap? No, nobody does that, Joe. That would be you, you weirdo pedophile groomer. All right, let me go to this one. Nick Shirley video. I asked American Muslim men in Dearborn who they would support if America went to war against the Islamic nation. Play for me.
Now you have all these Islam men yelling Allah Akbar. I have a question for you guys. If America were to get in a war with someone, with a country like Iraq, who would you guys defend, America or Iraq?
We won't get an award. That's not permissible for us. But at the same time,
who would you defend first?
We would support our brothers in Iraq. That's the only way.
So you wouldn't defend America?
We would not defend America.
But you're American.
But at the same time, listen. At the same time, America is our country because we were born here. But in our Islamic book, we're not allowed to fight with people that are against our religion. So we just take up the jail time.
So you would
that's
not.
What we do.
So you would not defend America.
No, I would go to jail instead of fighting for America.
And who would you defend if we were to go to war against a country like Iraq again, America or Iraq?
America.
And should that be a troublesome conflict of interest for somebody to be here in America that would rather support another nation like Iraq?
Anybody who supports another nation needs to live in that nation. This is a Christian nation. A lot of the Constitution is based off of the Bible. And how far the country has fallen.
Just like Americans shouldn't be fighting for the IDF, they certainly shouldn't be fighting for the Muslims either and other foreign armies. But that shows you exactly where, Dearborn, Michigan, gone. Minneapolis, St. Paul, 90,000 Muslims, gone. Not one of them would fight for America. Do you think they'd fight Americans in America? Yeah. Absolutely. That's why they are here. They are invaders. They are conquerors. It's been going on for 1,400 years since Muhammad was having sex with a 9-year-old. It's been going on. All right, that's it. 10:16. That's good. Appreciate you guys so much. I'm going to miss you for a week. Back on a week from Monday. We're taking off all next week for Thanksgiving. Rumble Rants tonight, and then we're going for 3 straight weeks till Christmas after that. Rumble Rants tonight. Jules, 21 hours, $50. Thank you so much. Robin Aroni, $25. Thank you so much. Deb Pal, $50, $10. Total G Word, $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Like I said, we're going to be switching out the rant. We're going to kind of follow the Nick Fuentes style. I'm going to task Aaron. It's going to be tough. And they were kind of having trouble with their thing. I was watching Fuentes last night. I'm like, Tom, you watching Must Make You Righteous? No, I'll watch anybody. They're interesting to me. I'm watching them. I'll watch whoever I want. I like Cenk Uygur half the time, too. Not half the time. 25% of the time. I like what Cenk Uygur says. Sometimes he says smart things. Alligator Alcatraz just gave?
Yep.
All right, Alligator Alcatraz in the rant. $25. Thank you guys so much. Hey, serious. I'll read it. So I'll practice right here with Alligator Alcatraz.
There we go.
This is what we're gonna do, by the way. But I'm going to have a tech voice do it. Aaron's got to work all that out. Aaron.
Yeah.
Make it happen. Make it happen, Aaron. Good. Another great week with TLP. Thank you, gentlemen. That's cool. See, I'm running down. Let me run. Oh, here we go. Robin Aroni, wishing you all a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. All on the rant. Thank you, guys. I'm scrolling down. Let's see how fast I can get to this. There's some other ones. Jules, 21 hours. Friday Night Facts. Deb Pal, 50. Happy Thanksgiving. Back to all of you guys. But anyway, I'm not going to see you until Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Join us this Sunday at Foundation Church. We're not missing any church. I'll be at both Sundays this Sunday coming up. Next Sunday, I'm not going to miss any Sundays. I don't intend on... unless... somebody ever actually asked me to come preach to their church, but that never happens. I'll never miss a Sunday. But anyway, I never will. I love Sundays. I'll never miss a Sunday.
Yeah.
But anyway, join us this week on Sunday morning. Maybe it'll give you a little bit of a fix on the podcast this week, and of course the following Sunday too. It's just weird not saying I'll see you on Monday. But anyway, join us at Foundation Church. Let's break some records. Since Rumble did the adjustment, it's all different numbers now, so we'll break new records with the new algorithms on Rumble and everything else. But anyway, love you. If I don't see you on Sunday, I will see you either the following Sunday or the following Monday. I love you guys. Listen, you got to stick around for the post game. It really is good tonight. Stick around for the post game. Love you all. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless you.